This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL. Yes, the holidays where we all gather around the Christmas tree and you open up gifts, or in your case, envelopes from your Aunt Nana and your great Grammy and other relatives that you see once a year and vaguely remember. And you get $5 here, $10 here, and after a while, it actually adds up to some real money. And then it's also the time of year where you can impress your family with your hockey knowledge. As you all sit around the TV and watch the game, you're the one that's giving out the key points, the key stats, the injured players. You know the ins and outs of the game. Now, it's time to take all that money that your relatives gave you, that $5 here, $10 here, put it all in one big pool, and turn that knowledge of hockey of yours into some real cash. With MyBookie, there is nobody that gives you more ways to win than they do. That includes Johnny Knuckles at the corner. MyBookie has the best payouts and better odds than any other sportsbook, and I would not be telling you this if they weren't the best. Now, with MyBookie, you can risk a little, like that money you got from your Aunt Nana, or you can risk a lot, like that money on Christmas gifts that you were supposed to spend on, you know, gifts. And with this being the holidays, there are daily gifts, free plays, free spins, and a whole lot more. But here is the real kicker here. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit that $100 you compiled from Aunt Nana and Grammy, you can receive an extra $50 free to play with on MyBookie. It's house money, folks. If you deposit $200, say your Aunt Nana was really rich this year, you get an extra $100, and on, you get the idea. Just use the promo code THPN. That's the Hockey Podcast Network, kids. THPN to activate the offer and take advantage of this great deal from MyBookie. Visit mybookie.ag today. It's simple. You play, you win, you get paid.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Two losses in a row has some fans question if this team is for real. Questions are answered on Dylan Dubé, that's for sure. Hello, Calgary Flames fans, and welcome to the show. Flames Unfiltered, episode number 24, recorded on Wednesday night, December 18th. Oof, 10 days ahead of myself. Hell, I miss Christmas. I like Christmas. I don't want to miss Christmas. Flames of the night off tonight. Back at it Thursday night when the Montreal Canadiens come to town, and that is when this podcast releases on the best podcast network out there, the Hockey Podcast Network. So happy to be part of that group. 31 teams, 31 podcasts twice a week. Does it get any better than that? So Calgary loses two in a row. I don't know. Are we worried? Are you worried? I wasn't unhappy with the play, so I'm not freaking out that much. But you know what? It'll be a little bit telling on Thursday night. Montreal comes to town. It's always kind of a crowd that is split 50-50. As much as we hate that to say, seems like it always is. Good rivalry, good Canadian rivalry. The Saddle Dome will be rocking. 2 points are pretty important in this one. Calgary moved up the standings so quickly and now have stabilized, where some of the other teams have continued to move up. Some not so much. Edmonton falling, Vancouver falling, Vegas moving up. We'll talk about that all later in the show. Calgary heads out on a 2-game road trip after that. A Sunday-Monday affair, Sunday in Dallas, Monday in Minnesota. It's a lot of travel. It's a 3-game road trip. Got Christmas break smack in the middle of that, where Calgary will head home, enjoy a quiet Christmas at home with the days off that the NHL gives, which I love. I think that's huge. Could they get good TV ratings playing on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day? Probably. But you know what? I respect that. I respect the league takes that time off, gives their players time with their families. I think it's huge. I think it's a good move. Then it all happens. December 27th, up the road in Edmonton, the Battle of Alberta starts for the year. Milan Lucic heads back. There's a lot of storylines. A lot. And I can't wait for that weekend because we got Edmonton and then Vancouver. I love the holiday season, not just because it's time with family and watching my kids get so excited for Christmas and time with their grandparents and my parents and just all the family and fun. But you know what? It's always rivalry time in the NHL. Do you notice that? And in junior hockey, the same. Schedule makers always pin a bunch of rivalries right around that holiday season, and we're going to get it with Edmonton and Vancouver. It's going to be great. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Dylan Dubé and how he's proved himself to be an NHLer now. We're also going to roll in to see what's changed on the Flames in 5 years. Very, very interesting to look at the depth charts from 5 years till today.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Hockey Podcast Network. 31 teams, 31 podcasts, twice a week. How does it get any better than that for the hockey fan? We're also excited at the Hockey Podcast Network to announce a new podcast. Episode 2 is out now, Tales with TR, a hockey podcast presented by Terry Ryan, a former National Hockey League player, and all-around hilarious, hilarious guy. You've heard him on Spittin' Chiclets. Now he's on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Flames fans, we got one game to recap. I don't know, have you guys felt like it's been like no games lately? I don't know. We're going to get out of that little funk here. Of course, we'll have a Christmas break, and then it's rivalry time, and we all love that. Got some cool guests coming up here in some of the episodes ahead. I look forward to having good guests on the show, and we're going to be putting together some really, really good guests coming up. One game to recap, Pittsburgh at Calgary Tuesday evening, and I thought Calgary had a pretty darn good first period. And then it kind of gradually tailed a little bit from there. Two empty netters inflated that score. This is a 2-1 hockey game, guys. I think some of the players were a little bit, I don't know, down on this one. Johnny Gaudreau led off of the scoring at the 16:05 mark. His 10th of the year, Reeder, Backlund, assists, 1-0 Calgary. Hey, everything's good, right? Yeah, it kind of went south from there. Second period, 12:13 mark, John Marino scored. You know, I like this guy. Defenseman for the Penguins. He seemed like he was in on the play all the time last night. He just did. He just seemed like he was in on the play and just did. He was just good, flat out good. I don't know how any other way to put it. Very, very good. He gets his 4th. It's 1-1. Brian Rust gets his 13th. Just over a minute later, 2-1. Pittsburgh. Second period ends. Third period, Malkin back from an illness, gets his 9th of the year. Russ Marino assists. Marino, you keep hearing about him all game. I thought he was good. And then that was an empty netter on that one, by the way. And then another empty netter. Chris Letang gets it from, I don't know, 180 feet. It was a long shot. I don't even think he looked at the net. He didn't. He didn't even look. Why does it bother me when Letang scores? You know, we all the league felt for him and like him because he's battled a bunch of different, you know, hurdles in his career. So you kind of like him for being a battler. But then he makes plays that really piss me off. If you said to me, Chris Letang, good player, bad player, I'd say good. Dirty player, not dirty player, dirty player. Dirty, dirty, dirty. All right, enough of that rant. He gets his eighth of the year, unassisted, empty netter, 4-1. So, what are we feeling after this game? Sean Monahan, his quote was, we had a lot of looks tonight. We've been getting a lot of looks lately. At this time of year, where we are and where we want to be, we've got to bury those. And I guess that sums it up pretty darn good. Is that he's right. We did have a lot of looks. It seems like as much as I feel like the top stars have come out of their funk, we're still missing some of those key scoring spots that you have to capitalize if you're going to go somewhere and lead a division and move past the first round. And really, isn't that what it's about, Flames fans? As much as I want to win the division, like I do, but I don't care when it's all said and done. I just want to get by the first round, which is what this whole team is going to be graded on this year. Now, of course, if we somehow don't make the playoffs, we're going to have some other issues that we're going to need to talk about. But that being said, we'll cross that bridge when it comes, because I look at the Pacific Division here and I don't see how this team isn't going to make the playoffs. But you know what? You can't count on it, because injuries can happen. Cold streaks can happen. If we start playing like we did a month ago, we're in big trouble. But I feel a lot more comfortable with this team. This team looks a lot more relaxed, looks a lot more fun. Not disappointed with their effort against Pittsburgh, but now having lost two in a row, now we need to amp it up just a little bit, because guess what? Thursday night when the Habs come to town, we can't afford to be giving too many more points, can we, Flames fans?
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, time to talk about a rookie on the team. A rookie that has stepped up, kind of been a, I can't say leader, but he has in a weird way led by examples lately. I'm talking about Dylan Dubé. I've been really, really impressed with this player this year. He's been very, very good. Now, Dylan Dubé came to the Flames as a draft pick, 2016 second round, 26th pick, 56th overall. You know, he's not a small, I couldn't say he's a small guy, and he doesn't play overly small. He's only 5'11", 187. But he's a shifty guy that's, since this call-up, and I kind of called this one, along with a lot of other people this year, that he wasn't going to make this team right out of camp. Because quite honestly, I didn't think he had a real great preseason. He was okay. But he didn't jump off the page. Now, when he got sent down, I thought, there's no way this guy stays down all year. It's time for him to be given a chance. And so far, I think he's making the most of this chance. Now, in his last five games, he only has two assists. And he's a minus one in his last five games. His ice time is hovering around that 11 to 12 and a half minute mark. But if you go back to the previous five games before that, I'm not too disappointed in his mark. On the year, in 14 games, he's got 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists. He's a plus two. I'll take that any day. But what I've liked the most out of the BC kid is that he had a couple game-breaking plays. Now, this week was a big week for Dylan Dubé, and a lot of people didn't see that or feel that. But with Zarnik and Bennett coming back, he's technically the easiest guy to send to Stockton, right? Doesn't have to go through waivers. Can go straight there. can be pulled up at a moment's notice. It'd have been the safe move for the Flames, right? But that's not what the Flames chose to do. They chose to keep Dylan Dubé because Dylan Dubé has earned a spot, right, Flames fans? Am I the only one feeling this? He had two very strong plays against Pittsburgh that stand out. The one, I believe it was late in the first period when he drove in with a burst of speed, one-on-one, moved his leg out to protect the puck really, really well, got a scoring chance as he drove the net. He had numerous times coming through the neutral zone, I thought, against Pittsburgh, where he showed strong bursts of speed that helped out quite a bit. He's played on a line this year with Lucic, Ryan, and now in practice this week, we saw him with Monahan and Backlund. I actually like that line. When you sit and look at that, as much as it's nice to have Gaudreau and Monahan together, I thought Gaudreau was better when he was with Ryan Lucic, and that's how they were at practice today. I have no idea how we're going to see it in the games. But you know what, Flames fans? I hope we start to see some stability there. Now in Dubé's career, he's played 39 games, all with the Calgary Flames. 12 points, 4 goals, 8 assists, a plus 4. Dylan Dubé is going to be a guy, and I don't want to curse anybody by saying this, but if you guys remember back to the year that the Cup was hoisted, 1989, who was a smaller stature player that was called up just prior to Christmas and ended up playing a huge role down the stretch and hoisted the Cup his rookie year? Yep, Flames fans, his name was Theron Fleury.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
All right, Flames fans, looked at a cool graphic earlier this week. And at the time I thought, interesting. I saved it. Pulled it out again this week and looked at it again and thought, that's interesting. I need to talk about that. It was a depth chart from December 11th, 2014, 5 years ago, almost to the day where we're at right now. So let's take a look at that depth chart. Let's compare it to our depth chart now. And then let's look at where the Flames are in the standings and what's going on in this crazy Pacific Division. So back then, the starting line, first line, how when you see this, you're just like, I shake my head. Joe Colburn on the left wing, Sean Monahan centering, Paul Byron on the right. So Colburn, Monahan, and Byron. Line two, Josh Juris centering Yuri Hudler and Johnny Gaudreau. Now later in the year, that line changed, and you saw Monahan do that. Now it's like, that's a good line. The third line saw Marcus Granlund centering David Jones and Curtis Glencross. The fourth line saw Lance Boma centering Mason Raymond and Brandon Bolig. First line, compared now. Tkachuk, Lindholm, Mangiapane. Well, two of the three for sure are better. Then you see the second line, Gaudreau, Juris, and Hudler. I would say I would choose Monahan, Dubé, and Backlund over that second line, even though I was a huge Yuri Hudler fan. Third line, Gaudreau, Ryan, and Lucic. Yep, that's better than Granlund, Jones, and Glencross. And the fourth line, Reeder, Bennett, Frolik, is far, far superior to Boma, Bolig, and Raymond. I can't even say Mason Raymond's name. Look at the defensive pairings. Giordano Brody. Yeah, same. Chris Russell, Dennis Weidman, compared to Noah Hanifin, Travis Hamonic. As much as I like Chris Russell, I'm taking Hanifin and Hamonic. The third pairing, Rafael Diaz and Derek Englund. Now, I like Derek Englund, but I don't even remember Rafael Diaz, to be honest with you. I don't remember him at all. In goal, on that night in Buffalo, Kari Ramo. And boy, would I take Riddick and Talbot over Kari Ramo. Interesting. Lines this week of practice, a little bit different again. We saw one move as Gaudreau falls back to the Ryan Lucic and Dubé slides on up to the Monahan backline. Bennett slides in after his injury with Reeder and Frolik, Jankowski odd man out. I'm really interested. I actually hope they run these lines tomorrow night against Montreal in Calgary and see how that all goes. Now, where are the Flames at in the standings and where do we see them going? As we saw the Flames surge up the standings up to 2 points shy of that lead and now have dipped back to 4 points off that lead. Arizona still holds that lead at 44 points. Calgary four back at 40. In between Calgary, Vegas has jumped up with a 7-2-1 record in their last 10 to up to 43 points. That's right where we expected to see Vegas this year, isn't it? Edmonton, after a 3-6-1 in their last 10, has fallen to 42 points, just 2 points ahead of those Calgary Flames. Wouldn't it be awesome if we went into the Battle of Alberta deadlocked? That would be amazing. So, Calgary sits at 40 points. 4 points back is the Vancouver Canucks, who have been stuck at 36 points for quite some time now, as they've lost three in a row, 4-6-0 in their last 10. San Jose, after bolting up the standings, then slipping, firing their coach, have went 3-6-1 in their last 10, are stuck at 34 points, 6 back of Calgary in that sixth place spot. The Los Angeles Kings sit at 33 points, 5-4-1 in their last 10. Winners of their last two, though, and I don't think LA's been that bad lately. I actually like some of the things they're doing. Kovalchuk's gone now. That's team's a little scarier. Anaheim falls into the final spot now with 32 points as they've struggled lately, losing their last two. And I don't see a lot of hope for Anaheim. I really, really don't. I think this team is gonna really have a tough time, you know, staying the course with the lineup that they have. A lot of young talent. I think this could be a quick rebuild for Anaheim. I just don't see it this year being able to get themselves near a playoff spot. So the question is, where should the Flames be when you're talking, are they a better hockey team? Now, I think Calgary is better than Anaheim. I think they're better than LA. And so far, I've been proven wrong, but I think they're better than San Jose, too. Vancouver, I think it's a pretty evenly matched team. Vancouver's having a struggle lately trying to figure out how to win. Edmonton, I think Calgary is better than Edmonton. I think we're behind Vegas. And honestly, I think we're about even with Arizona. What's scary is, I could see the Flames winning this division, or I could see them finishing fifth. Time will tell. We need some points. We need a big win tomorrow night against Montreal.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Time for a little Flames news. And there was actually quite a bit of news in Flames land this week since we last recorded. Zach Rinaldo has been sent down to Stockton of the American Hockey League. Austin Zarnik placed on waivers. We will find out tomorrow if he clears waivers. That'll be Thursday. We will find out if he clears waivers. With his salary at 1.2, I don't know. I've liked what I've seen from Austin Zarnik this year. So I think we're 50-50. I would not doubt it if a team like Anaheim, a team like Ottawa, picked up Zarnik. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Anaheim might have a little troubles with salary cap with him, but Ottawa would be fine with that. We'll see what happens. I hope that he stays. If he stays, I think he'll be sent down to Stockton to play a little bit and would be the first one coming back up. Sam Bennett is healthy, was back in the lineup Tuesday night against Pittsburgh. Good to see Sam Bennett back. Let's hope we can all be in the right frame of mind and let Sam Bennett do what he does best, and that is grind it out and make things happen with his physical ability. I've always been a Sam Bennett fan, and yes, he has frustrated me in the last couple years, but I think we need to throw away our predisposed first round pick thoughts and let Sam Bennett be who Sam Bennett is, who was actually one of our better players last year in the playoffs. Don't forget that, Flames fans. Exciting news. Calgary looks to be wearing their Heritage White Classics on Thursday night when Montreal comes to town. And those jerseys are flat out amazing. And I hope that we do see them on Thursday night. Some sad news in Calgary. Assistant GM Chris Snow has been diagnosed with ALS. His wife put out a press release today that was heartfelt. Be positive and hopeful with us. Pray for us in whatever way you pray. And don't treat us, most especially Chris, differently than you always have. We wish Chris and his family the best as he battles ALS.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Hey, the Hockey Podcast Network and Flames Unfiltered is very excited to announce a partnership with Gongshou Hockey Apparel. Check out the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. See what this week's contest is and see what kind of cool Gongshou swag you can win yourself. Let's take a trip around the National Hockey League and talk about some news outside of Calgary and how it maybe relates to the Flames. First one, the big talk this week. Everybody has been talking about Taylor Hall landing in Arizona. The trade is Taylor Hall and Blake Spears from New Jersey to Arizona. In return, Arizona sends Nick Merkley, Nate Shanar, Kevin Ball, who is a top prospect, a 2020 conditional first rounder, and a 2021 conditional third rounder. So, my thoughts on this. Am I surprised? No. I kind of thought the way things were kind of starting to move and maneuver that this just might be the place he lands. But the big thing that threw me off guard was that as soon as the trade was announced, I see all over that Arizona's instantly Stanley Cup contenders. And my thought is, are you kidding me? How can we have this team be a Stanley Cup contender when, first off, Arizona struggled to make the playoffs? This team still, I mean, Taylor Hall will help it, don't get me wrong, but this team is still struggling to score. Some of the guys that are expected to score the most aren't scoring. And then Taylor Hall. Let's look at Taylor Hall's history. He played on a very bad Edmonton Oilers team. Didn't get them to the promised land and get them winning anywhere deep into the playoffs. Had one playoff round, as a matter of fact. Then you look at what else he's done in New Jersey, which wasn't a good team. He won the Hart, but still didn't lead this team anywhere. So getting Taylor Hall will help Arizona. But what blows my mind is a lot of people in the hockey world think that just because a team lands Taylor Hall, that guarantees them playoff success or, heck, even a playoff spot. Arizona's no different than Calgary in the fact that I think they could take first or fifth in the division. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but I don't think Flames fans, we should be worried too much by this. Obviously, it makes Arizona better, but how much better? That's my question. Evgeny Malkin reaches a 400-goal milestone in a win over the Calgary Flames. Wonderful when players reach milestones over Calgary. He is the seventh-ranked Russian player to reach 400 goals in NHL history. I'll rattle down 6-5-4-3-2-1, and 6 was Alex Kovalev, 430. Ilya Kovalchuk, who has just been released by the Kings, 5th at 435, 436, excuse me. Number 4, boy was he great, the Russian Rocket, 437. One of my all-time favorite players, and it pains me to say that because he was a Canuck. It blows my mind, but he was that good. Alexander McGinley sits in 3rd at 473. Sergei Fedorov at 483 sits 2nd. And Alex Ovechkin sits number 1 at 679. Now the Golden Knights, let's talk a little bit about them. As they earned a win in their 200th all-time regular season game. Now I bring this up because I found a very interesting fact. What team in NHL history has the highest point percentage through their first 200 games played? You will never, ever guess this one. It was the Ottawa Senators. And yes, I know it was back in the formative years of the Ottawa Senators, but they wanted a 6.630 clip. Vegas, 0.608 clip. On down the list, the Rangers, Canadians, Blues, Florida Panthers. That was another one that surprised me. The Toronto Arena, St. Patrick's, the Boston Bruins, the Montreal Maroons, and the Edmonton Oilers. That one does not surprise me at all. Rolling in the fan question, and we fall back to Taylor Hall talk. And this week's question was, what would you offer if the Flames had the opportunity to get Taylor Hall in a trade? I'm assuming the question meant not now in the offseason when we could go at him in free agency. Well, what would I have offered for Taylor Hall? First off, I am probably the worst person to ask for this because I don't think that Calgary should have given up a ton to get Taylor Hall. Now, there was rumors flying around, and I saw them too, that Calgary had offered Bennett and Hamonic in a conditional pick based on if he re-signed in Calgary. That surprises me in the fact that, yes, Hamonic's a UFA, so his worth is probably not as high as it should be or would be had he had a contract. Bennett has years left on his. I would be a little surprised that New Jersey, if that's true, wouldn't have taken that over what they got from Arizona. But that being said, it is a rumor, and I have no idea how much truth to that is. I have seen it in two multiple sources, neither of which source I claim to credit or claim is credible. So, what would I have offered? If I seriously was going to go after Taylor Hall, I would have offered Sam Bennett, which I wouldn't have liked to, but I would have, and a conditional fourth, first if he's re-signed. Now, yes, I know that we would have had to do some tweaking with the cap to get that to work, but half of his salary was eaten for the other one. If we had to throw in something else, I thought about Jankowski. I'm not sure how they would feel about that, but I would consider adding a Jankowski to that and backing that conditional pick from a fourth to a third or second. That would help out with salary for Calgary, fit Taylor Hall in, and we'd have Taylor Hall. But none of that matters now because Taylor Hall's in Arizona. So maybe the question should flip-flop. Is Taylor Hall a guy that Calgary should explore in the offseason? My answer is quick to that. No. Taylor Hall's going to demand $8 or $9 million. And we're sitting here having trouble having to put guys on waivers because of a tight salary cap this year. Why on God's green earth would we even cap crunch ourselves even more and weaken our blue line? Because we need to get Anderson signed, Hamonic, Brody, all of those. Yeah, will we get them all? No. But we need to get two of those three signed, and that's going to cost money. So we can't cap strap ourselves and sign Taylor Hall to a big contract and then not have any money for our blue line, i.e. Toronto. Don't forget, defense wins championships. Games to preview. Two games to rock and roll through as the Calgary Flames play Thursday and Sunday night. Thursday night, we've said it 80 times on this show, the Montreal Canadiens head to town. Right now, Calgary sits 18, 14, and 4, 40 points in the Pacific. They sit fourth in the final wild card spot. Montreal, 16, 12, and 6, 38 points. And they sit fourth in the Atlantic right now. The Canadiens have won 4 of their last 5. Their star players are certainly making a difference now. And Carey Price sports a 4-1-0 record in his last 5 starts with a .952 save percentage. Carey Price has been really, really good. And since they gave Primo a couple games and gave him a chance, now Carey Price is rejuvenated. Things look good again. Thomas Tatar has scored a goal in 4 straight games. He's on a 5-game point streak. Defenseman Shea Weber has a 4-game point streak going, and their stars are producing. Thus, they're moving up the standings again. And Montreal's an interesting team that has been really up and down. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They're pretty good on the road. They're 8-4-3 on the road. This is a team that sits, actually has moved up now to third in the Atlantic after tonight's shuffling. And they're in a playoff spot. They would be taking on the Buffalo Sabres had the playoffs started this week. Now, these two teams have not played this year yet. They play again in Montreal in a few weeks. So the first time we get to look at the Montreal Canadiens this year, it'll be interesting. It'll be good. Then on Sunday, Calgary heads down to Dallas for a Sunday night game. Calgary and Dallas have played twice this year. On October 10th, Calgary won in Dallas 3-2 in a shootout. And then on November 13th, Dallas beat Calgary 3-1 in Calgary. Time for Calgary to get things back on the road. Time to get on the win track. Time to keep Johnny Gaudreau scoring. And big save, Dave. We need a big game against the Montreal Canadiens Thursday night. Everybody get out to the Saddle Dome. Let's make it rockin' for Calgary. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.